Okay, first roundtable of the season with Citizens Wayne Scanlon and myself. I'm James Gordon. And Wayne, let's talk a bit about what's happened in training camp and the preseason so far. And maybe go back to the Toronto game. Who stood out for you there? Jared Cowan had a good game. And Brian Lee, actually, who I talked a little bit about this preseason, a guy who's kind of the forgotten man, but was pretty solid near the end of last year and seems to be continuing it now through training camp.
I think, you know, one of the fun things of training camp, James, is that you have everything kind of figured out, or the team thinks it has everything kind of figured out, with the young guys kind of plugged in. You know, Runblad's supposed to be sort of an automatic, and Jared Cowan's supposed to be an automatic. And Brian Lee's the forgotten guy, and it's just assumed that he doesn't, you know, fit into the plans here long term, because you know you still have Gonchar and you have Phillips and you have Kuba and you have Karkner, and you know there just isn't room for everybody. But Brian Lee, you know, it's almost like all of a sudden things have kicked in for him. Even his shot seems to be harder. Mm-hmm. We used to kind of, and I know that others in the organization used to kind of make fun of his shot for a big man. He didn't have such a big shot, but he was cranking them against the Boston Bruins the other night, and. You know, he scored a goal, had a little bit of help on a deflection, but he also set up the one-timer with a really hard pass that Zibanejad handled, and with a one-timer to show that he's got a scoring touch. But Brian Lee has been a really effective performer and kind of maybe throws a monkey wrench into the works in terms of the team's plans.
And, I mean, would you take it as a good sign that he's playing with Chris Phillips, the guy he played with at the end of last year, and they look like a good shutdown pair, and it looks like it's going to be them again tonight against Montreal?
Well, that's it. I mean, they're very comfortable together. Phillips, I think, is probably the easiest guy to play with. I mean, if you're coming in here and you're playing with a kid like Cowan, as well as he's playing, you're maybe just a little unsure, but when you have that familiarity, I think especially on defense, I think forwards can be a little more adaptable, but on defense, if you have that comfort level, I mean, you think back to Volchenkov and Phillips and the comfort that they had with each other. They could read off each other, and, you know, there's just that sense of comfort that every time you go out there, you know where the guy's going to be, and there's nothing... There's not that sense of, I've got to cover up for this guy. And I think you had a bit of that last year when Phillips played with Carlson. It was just, I felt like Phillips was trying to do too much. And I think it hurt his game. And you know, we can talk about his plus minus and some of the other problems they had defensively. But, you know, I think it was him trying to be even more defensive without Volchenkov and trying to support a young player like Carlson, who's got an offensive bent. So, and there's a defenseman we haven't even talked about. Mm-hmm. When we talked about the other defenseman, Carlson is going to have a huge role with this team, and it's going to be interesting to see how he progresses this year.
The other Swedish defenseman, David Runblad, a guy who I think I saw Ken wrote the other day that the Hockey News had him at number two for most likely to win the Calder Trophy this year, which seemed a bit odd to me just looking
at the camp.
Just exactly. Looking at the depth chart, and now going through camp in these preseason games, he's not a guy who's really stood out.
No, it seems like the discussion has gone from talking about, you know, is he an automatic here, or is he going back to Sweden when he gets sent down, or is he going to play in Binghamton? And I think it really comes down to his adjustment to the North American ice surface, and that should factor in his decision and where he's going to play this year, because I really do think he probably needs a season at the pro level, maybe not at the highest level, because they have enough defensemen here. They don't have to carry him. He can have a season in the minors. I think the AHL would be just the ticket. You can see that he's got the skills. He sees the ice pretty well and he passes pretty well, but he looks a little bit uncomfortable. And this is just the preseason, so it's only going to get worse when he's playing in real games against real teams and everything gets ratcheted up.
You get maybe a bit of a false sense of who these players are if you just watch the rookie tournament and they tear it up against guys who are at the same level as them. One guy who seems to have made a bit of a good transition is Mika Zibanejad, who obviously won with that one-timer in overtime against Boston. What have you thought of his game? Maybe not spectacular, but he skates well. He has decent size for an 18-year-old and seems like he could at least keep up here.
Yeah, I kind of honed in on him the other night against Boston because he was my column topic for the night. And, you know, he kind of punctuated the evening with that one-timer goal. And the people that play hockey, you know, they looked at that and said, wow, that's a scorer's goal. The fact that he could handle such a hard pass and not only get something on it, but to beat a legitimate NHL goaltender in Tuukka Rask, I mean, that was, he really showed something. But I think what I noticed, you know, all night long, he wasn't spectacular, and he would probably say it wasn't his best game, but he does a lot of the little things well. For an 18-year-old, you know, I was talking to Ryan Spooner when he was here, and Ryan Spooner, the Boston Bruins, a year older than Zibanejad, who drafted a year ago. So he's got another year on him, but he's concerned about the little things defensively and being in the right place. Zibanejad seems to have a lot of that figured out already. I was very impressed with his positioning. You know, he was up against Tyler Seguin a few times, and I thought he neutralized him a little bit in front of the net. He seems to know, you know, his coverage responsibilities, and that's going to be huge with this team under Paul McLean. You know, defense is going to be important for a centerman, and maintaining the puck, and he's another guy that's going to help, I think, their puck control game. But is he ready to be here for full-time? I would doubt it. I think he's a guy that's going to benefit from another year's experience before he jumps up to the NHL.
And the thing is, if he's going to be here, he's going to be playing on a top-two-line situation, and they are looking for that number two center. It sounds like you don't see him stepping into that role right away, which would maybe leave a Peter Regan or a Stefan DaCosta. If you were kind of playing odds maker here, who would you see filling that role on day one?
I thought Regan had a really good game the other night, and I thought his line with Condra and Nick Foligno was probably the team's best line. But Stefan DaCosta has really opened some eyes here. He dominated the rookie camp as a 22-year-old, and played college hockey and really impressed, I think, throughout camp. He's a guy that seems to really have his eye on the prize, and I know talking to Brian Murray, he's very, very high on him, so I think he's going to get every chance to start the season here.
You look at the goaltending situation, I don't think we see it enough from Craig Anderson, but would you just assume that, you know, Paul McLean said 60 to 70 games, he's going to be the guy who's going to carry the load here, and then, you know, maybe Alex Auld will step in here and there?
No, I think that's it, and I think that leaves room for Robin Leonard to play that kind of Craig Anderson role down at the AHL level. I mean, he did not play a lot of games last year. You almost forget. You think, well, he had a long season. You know, they won the Calder Cup, and he was the MVP in their playoff run. But, you know, he was out, you know, numerous times with injuries and just kind of shuttling back and forth and backing up here in Ottawa because of injury situations. So I think it's really important for him to settle in. We all know he wants to be here. He's very anxious to graduate to the next level. But I think it'd be really good for him to spend a full year down there. And if he can be a dominant goaltender at the AHL, that's going to give him a chance to make the transition more easily a year from now when maybe, you know, Alex Auld is here on a one-year deal. I think it's understood. You know, I think the organizational plan is for him just to kind of mine the store for a year or so. And Robin Leonard will be ready to come up and play a bigger role.
You got to think it's tough for a guy like Leonard, knowing his personality and his expectations of where he should be at this point, to lead a team to a championship and then have them say, well, you're back on the bus for another year.
He seems to be biting his tongue a little bit when he talks. He doesn't want to say anything that's going to
register a headline. He's slowly learning how to speak at the NHL
it's
level
kinda sad,
without
actually.
Getting in trouble.
It's kind of sad, but you know, and it wasn't about us twisting his words because he was pretty outspoken to begin with. But I think he's a competitive guy, and you know, the fires are burning and he wants to be here, and he will be, but he's still a young player. And I think for goaltenders in particular, you just don't want to rush. There's been it almost seems like as you move from the crease out, you have to be more patient with a player. I think you have to be most patient with a goaltender and then perhaps with a defenseman. Forwards, it's a little bit easier for them to jump in as a young player. So Robin Leonard will have to be patient. And, you know, as he matures, he may get a better understanding of how this really is in the long run best for him.
Last topic of the day, we just saw Daniel Alfredsson skate and get ready for his first preseason game. He says he's feeling really good, legs strong and all that. You and I kind of noticed, you know, it is the preseason and maybe it takes time, but sort of the old-time Daniel Alfredsson speed, even with the injury corrections, just isn't where it used to be.
Yeah, it doesn't seem to be, but, it, you know, it may be the kind of thing where he's just waiting for the lights to come on, right, and it's showtime, and he'll be ready to go as the old pro that he is. So I think it'll be interesting to watch tonight. There's things that you're looking for in the preseason. You're watching the young kids. There's spots that people are fighting for. In a case of a veteran like this who hasn't played for months, it's been 7 months since he last played an NHL game. It's kind of exciting just to see, you know, it's kind of a welcome him back, but also try to get a sense of where he is at physically. Now, it's only a preseason game, so it's going to go up another notch from here. But if he can handle it, you know, A, if he can get through it without getting hurt, and B, if he can just show a little bit of the spark of the old Alfie, I think it will augur well for this team, because they just don't have that many veterans. A lot of their veterans, you know, the guys that are supposed to nurture the kids along are really older players, like himself and Gonchar and Chris Phillips, you'd even argue, is past his prime. So pretty important that he comes back and plays a pretty solid role and hopefully can be healthy through the year.
I guess we'll see tonight. Thanks a lot,
Absolutely.
Wayne.
Thank you.